I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
That's right, as if you weren't already there, as if you weren't already stay focusing, Dusty. I don't know how you can't be there now, because the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, brought to you by GEHA and Silverstein Eye Centers. Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. 0 days away, less than 12 hours away, less than 2 seconds away. We are now joined by the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch, how are you on this wonderful Red Friday?
Great, and I'm in front of a live studio audience here in Sao Paulo. Yeah.
Are you in the Chiefs' house?
We are not at the Chiefs' house.
Oh.
I have Eric Townsend, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Nate Wetmore, the best sound man, the sound guru, the savant of sound. Then I've got, your old colleague is here.
Oh, he actually got up.
Well, he misses getting up at 2:45 in the morning.
Yep.
We call him Drew Bledsoe, because when he left, Dusty came in as Tom Brady.
Oh.
So, yeah.
My God. All right, I'm done.
Cling is just
Derek Nelson is here, who flew from Houston to Kansas City to go back to Sao Paulo. Not sure why that happened, but anyway. And then Steve Cook, the lead educator of the Chiefs Kingdom. And last but not least, the man who I think, as long as the Lord gives me oxygen on the earth, I will stand against injustice. That Sean LaChapelle got his route, the double move, and they did not trust it. It's against the Packers, and the great upset over the would-be world champion Packers. They took the route away from him because he was from New Jersey, and they didn't trust it.
That's profiling.
And they gave it to Sean LaChapelle from UCLA because he's from California.
Yeah.
That's profiling. Right, how you guys doing?
They're doing great, man.
So
doing
you guys
great.
Are all up. It's nine. It's 2 hours earlier there, right? So or later
oh,
there.
Yeah.
Whatever
we've had
it is.
Lunch.
Yeah.
We've worked out. we're fresh from the trip here.
You traveled 13 hours?
Hang
yes,
on.
Sir.
Hang on, Dusty. You got to be careful how you say this in Portuguese. You know, Brazil is Portuguese, not Spanish. It's Portuguese.
Right. So
Vamos foca.
Okay.
Vamos foca.
Thanks for giving the warning, because you know exactly where my mind went.
Just be real careful how you say that second word in Portuguese.
Yes. So you guys are all together already. The game is in 12 hours. Are you just now leaving for the stadium because it takes like 12 hours to get there?
No, we're breaking down the game in every facet of it. So you guys think we just show up and do the game?
Yep.
Nope. This is a group of NASA scientists. Actually, if you go back and, you know, you watch Oppenheimer, the Manhattan Project, and 4,000 physicists and mathematicians and scientists, that's what this is. Yep. And Clinton's wanting to find Eric Townsend. They have an all-points bulletin out. He's here. So, yeah.
Mitch, I want to ask you something about the travel. I mean, I get it that they're going to play. I thought it was Warren Sharp's tweet yesterday that made a lot of sense. I get it, but come on. We've seen the practice conditions, the traveling issue. How's travel been, and what's the setting for you like in Brazil for the Chiefs?
What we figured out, it was between 17 and 18 hours. By the time we walked into the practice facility to go on the bus, for whatever reason, there was a delay at KCI. Not sure, but it was a crisp 2.5-hour delay.
Yeah.
I'd actually laid out some work on purpose, just like I'll just do it on the plane. I had that done before we left.
Nice.
So, and then it was a 10.5-hour flight. Then what's the bus ride from the airport to Sao Paulo? Is the fourth largest city in the world. So it's not like you're going from Lee's Summit to the Legends. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Immigration. Don't forget immigration.
Yeah.
It was probably 2 hours. So it was like 18 hours. from the time we walked into the practice facility to the time Danan put his head on a pillow.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, rough.
That like, you know, I don't remember the complaining last year about this game, obviously, because we weren't in it. But it sure seems like from a national perspective, like everybody with a national voice is going, what are we doing here? Why are we playing this game? And then you see them practicing yesterday in somebody's backyard. The team's emerging from the woods like it's Field of Dreams. Like, what are we doing?
Well, the Brazilians love football, and they're going to be there in force tonight. They got the Packers and Eagles last year, but okay, I got to be careful here. But this is like somebody at work going, "Hey, I need a spreadsheet on all the third quarter. I need the fourth quarter projections. I need your budgets by Wednesday. Where are you going? I'm going to lunch." Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's kind of that. Like it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Logistically, it is a incredible challenge. I'm so fortunate. Our football administration people here with the Chiefs are probably the best in the league. In fact, the league hires our people to work for the league. I mean, we don't want to lose them, but anyway, it's just a logistical challenge that I'm not sure I would fully appreciate if I'm not on this trip. And this is different. This is like going to Japan when you think of the duration of the flight or something like that. Now, next year, there's going to be a game in Australia, and that'll feel like a 2-week odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
But, the point here is there's just a lot more to it than, hey, let's put a game on YouTube and make it live and have it the Friday after the Thursday before the Sunday. And, oh, let's do it in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, let's do that. I don't know. And this has a Super Bowl feeling to it, kind of with the activities and such. And it's the first game and it's a division opponent.
Mm-hmm.
This feels different than Germany. I don't know what these guys think. It feels different to me than that.
Yeah.
Division game, first game. When we played these guys, it's our fourth international game for real. And second time we've had a division game, both against the Chargers, because they're more than willing to give up their home games. But the fact is, the other two were, one's an NFC team, the other one's an AFC East team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge game right out of the gate, and we're doing it about 5,000 miles from you.
Yeah, right. It's really crazy when you think about it, too. And, you know, it's not like you mentioned the Chargers giving up a game. They actually gave up a good game. But you know what? They also gave up a game while the NFL wants to continue to push the narrative that L.A. is working. They don't want all that red out there in L.A. And everybody knows, right, when you play in Los Angeles, you do not have that home venue. And so I think some of that probably has to do with the league of getting tired that the L.A. thing isn't taking off like they thought it was going to. And everybody knows that's been a failure, so let's not play there. Let's move everybody to Brazil and see what happens.
Well, and that was predictable, especially with the Rams coming back, so they've got history there. And LA is an interesting, my granddaughter's an Angels fan. Royals fans don't judge, but my granddaughter's an Angels fan. But don't tell her, but the Angels will always, they're the Clippers to the Lakers to the Dodgers, right? Mm-hmm. There's the Kings and the Ducks, and the Chargers to me feel like the Rams will always be ahead of them. But you're right. The Chargers will have more fans here cheering for them than maybe they would in a home game, because there'd be 68,000 Chiefs fans at the game. And the fact that they haven't beaten us in their home venue, which would be, what, three different venues in the streak against them there. They've actually played, the Chargers have played better in Arrowhead against us than we have, and then they have against us at home, whatever home they've played in.
Right. Mitch, I think this game's interesting as we dive into the X's and O's of it, something that really gets you to that level and kind of separates you from everybody else, because you dive deep into this. And I did a little bit of homework last night just for you, Mitch. I thought this game
was
good. I'm telling you, man.
You're coming around, Dusty.
I'm trying, man.
Homework.
I'm trying to live up to that Tom Brady reference. Last night I thought to myself, what's a good question for Mitch and how he could break this game down? I thought to myself, well, the Chargers did something this offseason draft. They drafted Amari Hampton, the kid out of North Carolina, pretty solid running back. Well, the Chiefs, you know what they did? They went and got more strength on that defensive line. This, to me, is a game that screams trenches. Mitch, what say you?
That it definitely is. Now, Jim Harbaugh is very different than his brother, John. Okay, very different. And can't believe they came out of the same mom, but they did. But where they are similar is in their approach to football. And I said this a little bit last year, but this offseason accentuated even more. Jim Harbaugh wants to make the Chargers the Ravens of the AFC West. He went out and got more physical backs. He gets Najee Harris from the Steelers, four straight 1,000-yard rushing seasons. They go draft Amarian Hampton, who was second best running back in the draft, power back, Ashton Jeanty, Hampton's not far behind. So what you do is you go get Ravens-style running backs. They get more physical, or try to get more physical on the offensive line. They try to get more physical on the defensive line. And so they just want to beat you up. And that's what it looks like they're trying to do. And so here they are. But that's what we're facing tonight. And that's where it starts is it's just the who's going to dictate terms, who dictates terms of this battle, and then who controls the trench warfare.
You know, I think also, too, as we get ready for not just this game, Mitch, but for this season, obviously it's a revenge year. It's American Pie. It's senior year for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, and I think they're going to show us a lot of fun. But also, too, you know, the last 2 years have been very difficult, if you will, from an offensive standpoint. For all intents and purposes, they're finally healthy. I know the Rashee Rice thing is looming for another 6 weeks, obviously, but I just feel like they're ready to put on a show, too, from an aerial standpoint, man. I think it's just going to be bombs away, and this team is going to go out there and try to show everybody, hey, remember the 2018-2019 Chiefs? We're back.
But here's it could be different, Bob, in the way that – let me just kind of adjust the wheel here a second. Everybody, when you say that in bombs away, thinks of Jet Chip Wasp.
Right.
What this team has the potential, the propensity to do, potential propensity, is to take a play designed for 6 to 12 yards and turn it into 22 to 32 yards. And that in this offense, that's a big piece of that, and it's theory going all the way back to the 49ers of Bill Walsh. So this team is better suited. For example, if you get Pacheco's back, okay, he's got that jersey back in him, meaning you can throw him a check down and it's not going to go for 6 yards. Rashard Smith becomes a key. You can throw him an arrow route or a circle route, and a play that thrown at 8 yards could go for 80. There's just more speed on this team. Mm-hmm. There's more ability, I think, to break tackles other than Travis Kelce. And actually, Worthy fits that, even though he's just like you think, I mean, he's 170 pounds, but he pound for pound is super tough. He would win the state in wrestling in his class. He's a tough kid. I mean, and wiry and all that. So don't think your big plays, which we'll launch it down there, but you might get some big plays in plays that you didn't think would be big plays that turn into big plays.
You know, I hate to minimize the loss of Rashee Rice because it sounds like he's not that important when I kind of go down this route a little bit, but it's the trust it's the trust I have in Andy and Patrick. Like, they figure out things. They know how to adjust better than anybody that I've ever seen. And so while the first six games are going to suck without him, I feel like they're going to have a pretty good game plan together to kind of stem the tide, if you will, till Rashee Rice gets back.
I'll just leave it at this. There are things in the Chargers have never seen in the 13 years of Andy Reid. Mm. Can I just leave it at that?
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, you can absolutely.
So that goes to
your
point. They are the NASA scientists surrounding Patrick Mahomes, and there's a bunch of minds involved in that. Girardi and Nagy and Pat himself and others, and with leading the way as coach. So, yeah, there's a lot of creative stuff in this offense. I'll tell you what else gives me hope, and this team can get more explosive plays other than Jet Chip Wasp, is I love the tight end room. And it's not just Kels. Noah Gray's better. He appears to be even a shade more athletic. And then Robert Tonyan as a third tight end is a real weapon. We saw it in the preseason. I love Belldozer, Wichita Bishop Carroll Eagle. Yeah, way to go, bud. But this is the best third tight end Andy Reid has ever had. Right. And so that gives you all kinds of possibilities, especially against this team, where you can create some mismatches.
Mitch, you started off the show or this interview as we wrap this one up with you. You started off with everybody being there from your production team to your, sideline reporter to other guys. One guy not there this year that's been there every year since, Dan Israel. Got to be a special year for all of you guys in that booth going on this year and how much he meant to that broadcast team and how much he meant to this kingdom. So shout out to Mr. Israel, who watches from the kingdom ahead.
Andy Reid calls them grabbers. And I love it that Nate Wetmore, he and I were talking, and then his daughter actually designed a DI pin that we wear on game days.
That's awesome.
But it was halfway up to camp. It happened this spring and summer a couple times, but it's half at Dearborn. You guys are driven up to camp.
Oh, yeah.
It's about Dearborn, right? North Platte High School. And it grabbed me. And I pulled off that exit and just sat there for about 10 minutes and thought of Dan. I go, it's my first camp in 32 years that I won't have Dan. And then there was a time about mid-camp and in front of Los Lakos Hall, there's an empty spot where he would park his Tesla. And I just sat there for a minute. So we've pushed on. He would want us to. We use all of his stuff. But, yeah. And we think about him a lot. And we're going to honor him all this year. So, yeah, Spartacus forever.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, go out there and have a great call and get this one for Dan tonight and start off 1-0 and get back to Kansas City and play those spitting Philadelphia Eagles. Mitch, we appreciate the time.
Yep, and hey, vamos foca. Vamos foca.
Vamos foca.
Uh-huh.
There we go, Mitch.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you, Mitch.
See you, boys.
That's Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs there, brought to you by GEHA Field and Silverstein Eye Centers, brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, brought to you also by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
It's your time to shine, Mac. Red Friday. Don't get scared now.
Woo, gotta stay focused, Dusty. Wow, I'm excited. Mitch got me going there.
Vamos, Coca.
Vamos, I forget what the other word
foca
was.
De
foca.
Foca de chow. That's yes. Why, right? No?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no,
I'll take it. Yeah.
This hat is made by FOCO, FOCO. Fogo de chow. Vamos a foca?
Mm-hmm. It's today.
Okay.
If worms had arms.
Last
he
night,
came from the same mother as the other Harbaugh.
Last night, you mentioned it before we even had a snap. We had the most eventful thing of the whole night happen.
For a snap, here he goes. He walks there in front of Dak Prescott. Did he spit? Did he spit on him? I think he did. There you go. There you go. And the official was right there to throw the flag.
That means he spit on him.
See, that's the reaction, Dusty. You asked me earlier before the show. You fight that guy or what? Oh, everybody's gonna have that. Like, oh my God! One word: loser. Losers spit on people. That's my one word for Jalen Carter. He's a loser.
I have two words for that incident. Foca him.
for
spitting on another human being.
I mean, seriously,
yes,
dude.
Yes, we see the video. Dak spits first, but it looks like he's spitting between his linemen towards the ground, not deliberately to the guy's chest, face, helmet,
right.
Face guard, whatever it may be. Yeah, not great. Bad look. Suspension is my one word as well.
I just got to say, I did watch the video again this morning. I will say what Jalen Carter, despicable, much worse, but Dak did spit.
There's a little bit of instigating.
Oh, he looked at him and he smiled and he was talking crap and he spit right at the ground at him. It's worth a fine. Dak Prescott should be fined and he should not be left without consequence. What he did was also instigating.
It's also the guy you don't retaliate, though. I mean,
100%. What Jalen Carter did was worse. But
yeah,
that's on video. Dak spit at the ground and obviously was provoking.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. One word: Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather, an exhibition fight. Per TMZ, one word.
Sad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where boxing is now. We're rolling out senior citizens.
Spring 2026.
Oh, even better. I mean,
another year.
Yeah.
irrelevant to me, I guess, is it? I mean, are we going to see Mike Tyson's ass again like we did before he fought Jake Paul? Like, ah, boy, yeah, I'm good.
BBL stinky.
That for sure. 100% there, man. Yeah, I would say on this, to me, tired, old, not interested.
Look, boxing should just shut down. That sport is useless. Like,
it's
unless
done.
You're going to go to the gym and exercise, and the guys at the J who have Parkinson's use boxing to keep themselves going, and it's great for that kind of stuff. But as an American sport, I mean, I've never seen a sport just disappear like boxing has.
One word, Royals won last night. Don't know if many people caught it, but because football was back.
Football was back.
Football was back. It makes sense, but they did win 4 solo home runs. They beat the Angels 1 out of 3 times, 4-3.
Too late. Losing a series to the Angels in September?
Ugh. I'll say homer, and I'll mean it in two different ways. Four solo shots last night where you lost one of your leaders on the pitching staff again due to injury with Lugo, who will be set down with back tightness for at least 10 days on the IL. Your leader stood up. Who hit home runs last night? Salvi. Adam Frazier, a guy that you got as a locker room guy. Salvi, Vinny, Bobby.
Yep.
Who had
yep.
the worst baseball game of his career the night before? Bobby Witt Jr. Mm-hmm. Who single-handedly won that game last night? Bobby Witt Jr. You're two games out. You still play the Twins this weekend. You still have the Mariners that you can jump coming up. So I'm a homer, and I love the homers last night in that Royals game.
We're doing something new this season, the BBL Stinky Take of the Year.
Well, BBL Stinky.
Yesterday, we thought it was Dan Orlovsky. Ryan Clark might have just stole it from him within the next hour on the same show. Listen to it.
Few of them. I think there's less than what you think. I think John Elway was a generational talent. I think Patrick Mahomes is a generational talent. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tom Brady. I don't think Drew Brees. I don't think Peyton Manning are generational talents. I think Andrew Luck ended up being a generational talent. I don't think there's a ton of them out there.
I'm going to use the same word I use with Mike Tyson, sad. Mm. Because Ryan Clark used to be good at his job. Now he's not.
Mm. Yeah, then we have Joe Montana's BBL stinky take. We've got yeah. Dan Orlovsky's. We haven't even taken a snap on the Chiefs football field. We haven't even heard what J-Mac with the news on Colin Cowherd's show is going to say.
Has Acho weighed in yet?
He's got our new show who goes live on YouTube after every NFL game. Get ready for those hot takes.
Guys, who
him
is,
and Shady McCoy.
Oh, God.
I got to figure out how to make money on this.
I mean,
talk about two people I could care less
literally.
To hear from.
Now, that take by Ryan Clark. I mean, if we're talking generational quarterbacks, where's Michael Vick? Where's Lamar Jackson? If that's your take,
that they have special talents
that you don't see in generation.
How could you not say that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were not generational quarterbacks?
It's like that Jim Nance narration that you hear in the beginning of every hour today that you'll hear for football. When Tom Brady quotes it with the sickest line of the whole thing, I don't care what you think of me. Look at the diamonds on these fingers.
Yeah, exactly. But Tom Brady is a generational talent. That guy evolved as the generations went on. He won Super Bowls with multiple organizations. Everybody in the NFL world knows what Omaha means because of Peyton Manning. And that's not why he's a generational talent, because he was effing good.
No, he changed the game.
He changed the whole game.
Steph Curry, generational talent.
I mean, come on, man. Like, Ryan Clark came out of the gate when he first started at ESPN and was exceptional, was awesome, loved him. Boy, you want to talk about dissipating. Ryan Clark has dissipated in a big way, worse than a winter storm. BBL stinky.
All right, we got two more in about 60 seconds. One word on MUKU tomorrow, 2:30.
Rivalry.
Plums. I can feel it. All my buddies are ready for this game. Mm-hmm. Even though the Chiefs game is on today, you are talking about Kansas and Missouri football with it. Not, put it on, like, whatever. No. This is going.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be a game in Columbia at 2:30 on Saturday when everybody's waking up from all the surf sides they had on Friday night watching the Chiefs beat the Chargers. You wake up Saturday feeling a little groggy. Oh, is that the Charger or is that the Jayhawks versus the Tigers? Let me tell you something, Dustman.
I know that I'm hard.
That's exactly right. Well done. That is one word.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.